Happy Friday and welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you for tuning in this Friday morning and lending me your ear as I go over my thoughts on the world of baseball over the next couple of minutes. We've got an interview for you today with a special RCBL guest, and we've got some just good old-fashioned baseball talk talking about what's going on around the RCBL and Major League Baseball. It's the middle of September, so pennant races are heating up. It's exciting times in Major League Baseball. All that is coming up on the latest episode of Foul Ball Area. But before we get into that, the usual reminder that you can find the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. Either way is a fine way to listen. On iTunes, you just search Foul Ball Area. You can subscribe to the podcast and download it. It'll show up in your feed whenever a new episode is posted. Or on SoundCloud, you can just listen right in your internet browser. Follow the link posted on Facebook or Twitter, and you can listen online with SoundCloud. Also, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Foul Ball Area. Give us a like and a follow to stay up to date with all the latest episodes and anything else that we might be sharing on social media. And while you're here, take a look around our beautiful website, foulballarea.com. It's got all the resources that you might need to find any old episodes, anything else going on with the Foul Ball Area podcast. So like I said, we do have a special RCBL interview today, continuing our Icon series. Joining me now on the phone, Broadway Bruins star Kevin Rush joins me on the podcast today. Kevin, how are you doing?
Great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk to me. Talk a little bit about your career, and I heard that you told me that you were gonna come back and play again next year. And I know this whole past season you've been kind of contemplating retirement, and then I contacted you about this interview, and you said you actually weren't retiring. So. A little bit of a surprise, but what kind of convinced you to come back and play again?
I don't know that I was completely sold on retiring at the beginning of last season when we started talking about it. But I had another good season, and the Bruins were successful again, and. It's hard to walk away from something you've been doing for 35 years. It's something I've done every summer since I was 5 years old, and you still feel like you can go out and compete. It's just hard to give it up.
I know on the Play Ball show last year with Carl Magenhofer and Mike Bocock, we talked a little bit about what was possibly could be your last season, and you were still having a great year offensively, defensively. You were just playing great all around. What did that mean to you to be able to put out a year like that in late in your career?
It's obviously it's a good feeling to know that, I'm probably 10 to 15 years older than most of the guys in the league and can still go out there and get it done. I've never been that superstar, in the league, but I've been consistent, and I guess that's kind of if you had to sum up my career, thus far, that's kind of the story. To be able to go out there every day and get a couple of hits and still be able to field the ball and throw it across the infield, it's a good feeling. So.
You mentioned that you are like 10 to 15 years older than most of the guys in the league, and especially a lot of the guys on Broadway. You had a young team this year. What was kind of your role with the team when you had so many young high schoolers, college players, and you're this experienced veteran? What was your role with the team?
Most of these guys that we've been bringing in are college kids, first year, second year college kids, and the county league has, kind of been my chance to kind of relax and just be one of the guys. So, I try not to get too much involved with the coaching and that kind of stuff and just be one of the guys. And, from time to time, I feel like, someone kind of needs to jump up and be that vocal leader. I'll take that role. But for the most part, I just try to blend in during the summer. With me coaching high school ball, pretty much year round, the county league is kind of my chance to unwind a little bit. So
Broadway had a pretty good season this year. They started out really hot and they were in, contention for the West Division all season long. What would it mean to you to be able to go out next season and put together another team like that and maybe even win a championship in Broadway?
It would be awesome. If we were fortunate enough to win the championship next year, I would definitely retire. I broke into the league back in '96 and won a championship with Grottos that first year. To win one at the tail end of my career, it would kind of be like things came full circle, and I think that would be the way I would go out. So
what was it like to start your career off with the championship, playing there for the Grottos team in the late '90s?
It was pretty awesome. Much the way kids today kind of break into the league. First half of the season, I was just happy to be a part of the team and get my ABs when I could. And I was fortunate enough to get some quality time towards the end of the season, and actually ended up having to start every game in the championship series because our first baseman broke his foot. We were down three games to none to Bridgewater and come back and beat them in game seven then to win the championship there. It was pretty wild, but that's been many years ago.
I think you had mentioned to me that your brother played a bit of a role in getting you to come back and play again for a couple more seasons. What's it been like being able to play on the same team as your brother there in Broadway?
We actually played together at Grottos and then at Newmarket as well. Basically, we've been together his entire career. So, it's been pretty awesome. It's nice to be able to share that common bond with your siblings. So, we actually had a younger brother that played with us as well when we were at Newmarket. So, it was kind of a family affair, I guess.
Do you ever, I don't know if this is a, there's some rivalries in the league, like Bridgewater, Clover Hill, or even Clover Hill, Stewart's Draft. Do you consider Broadway, Newmarket a bit of a rivalry due to kind of the proximity between the two teams?
Oh, absolutely. Even when I was at Newmarket, that was a big rivalry game for us. Like you said, it kind of that proximity thing. The way the Clover Hill Bridgewater battle used to be. It's kind of the same way with the Newmarket Broadway game. I don't know that it's the same level as Clover Hill Bridgewater, but I still think it's a pretty big rivalry game. I think guys, kind of get geared up for it. Now with me with Bridgewater or at Broadway, it means a little something more to me too. Playing against my old teammates and such.
Yeah, I remember, especially this past season, there were a couple of really good games between Broadway and Newmarket. So I always saw it as a bit of a rivalry between those two teams, and always a good game to watch.
Yeah, it is. For whatever reason, it the last couple of years it has been. It seems like at least three of the four have been, close one run ball games decided late in the late innings, and I think some of that is obviously the talent that both teams have had, and the fact that it is, like you said, a little bit of a rivalry game. You guys get excited for it. Play hard, and it always, kind of comes down to the wire. So,
well, Kevin, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join me on the podcast and talk to me about your career and about the what's going on in Broadway, and I guess I'll see you back on the field next season.
Yep, appreciate it, Matt.
So that was Kevin Rush of the Broadway Bruins, continuing our Icon series with that interview, although he is not retired yet. By the time he retires, he will be, I think, considered an icon of the RCBO, but he's not retired yet. When I contacted him to set up the interview, I wasn't sure if he had made a final decision, and he let me know that he was, in fact, not retiring. So that kind of changed the dynamic of the interview, but still good having him on, talking to him about his career and what to expect from the Broadway Bruins in the coming years. Like I said during that interview, Kevin did have a pretty good season last year in what a lot of people thought was his final year. He had a pretty good season, batted .292 with a .394 on base percentage. So he was very productive at third base. He was named to the 2018 All-RCBL team as the third baseman. He and Dan Fry were the two Broadway Bruins representatives on the All-RCBL team. So pretty good season. And then Broadway overall just had a very good season. They finished 18-10, which is a lot better than they had done in previous years. They were in third place in the West Division, and that's a tough division. They've got Bridgewater and Clover Hill to compete with in that division, so to finish 18-10, third place in that division, that's something to be proud of. Now, their playoffs didn't go as they had hoped. They got swept by Grottoes in the quarterfinals, so not a great playoff showing, but a phenomenal regular season. Way more wins this season than they had had in the previous 3 years combined. So a really good season by Broadway. And like I said, they did have all those young college players on their team this year. And I think what they've got there, you know, it's a good model. And they obviously had a very good team this year. But it's going to be interesting to watch how that works in the coming years. Because one of the controversial things that came up this season was the roster freeze that happens in the middle of the RCBL season. Of course, the roster freeze is when you can no longer make any changes to your roster. So you can't add players to your roster once the roster freeze goes into effect. And that hurt Broadway this year because some of their players, such as Gavin Kendrick and Logan Morrison, they left the Bruins to join teams in the Valley League. And those teams in the Valley League didn't need them for very long. So once they didn't need them anymore, they cut them. And then they didn't have anywhere to go. Gavin Kendrick, once he got released from his Valley League team, he couldn't come back to the Bruins because the RCBL roster freeze had already gone into effect. And, it's not fair to him because then he doesn't get to play baseball anymore that summer. And then Broadway, obviously, they want him back because he's a very good player, one of the best catchers in the league. So they wanted him back on the team. And so Broadway was not very happy with the roster freeze this year, understandably so. But other teams, you know, other people around the league, they like the roster freeze because they don't want the RCBL to just become a farm system for the Valley League, where Valley League teams can sign a RCBL player whenever they want and release them whenever they want. They don't want players just going back and forth between the two leagues. So I can see both sides of the issue, and I think that'll be interesting to see how it plays out, see if that's talked about during the offseason, if any bylaws or rules are changed during the offseason to kind of make some changes to the roster freeze. And it'll be interesting to see if Broadway's system works next year, if they get some young players and keep them for the season and end up making another run at a RCBL championship. I think that'll be fun to watch. Next week, hopefully we'll have some more RCBL guests on, talk about this past RCBL season and what we can expect next year. We'll try to continue the Icon series. I think there's only one other longtime player that's retiring. I think that's Mark Arrington of the Elkton Blue Sox. So hopefully we'll get him on here in the next couple of weeks, have some more RCBL talk on next week's episode. But now getting over to Major League Baseball. Last week I talked about the National League Rookie of the Year race. That was my something to say for last week. I talked about how Ronald Acuña Jr. should win the National League Rookie of the Year. A real quick update on the AL Rookie of the Year, just because I want to hit both leagues, talk about both awards. In the American League, I think this is a very interesting Rookie of the Year race to watch because you have Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels, who came over from Japan, and he has been called the Japanese Babe Ruth. He can pitch and he can hit, and he's done both very well this season. But he's been injured a lot of the season. He hasn't played that much, and so it's kind of like his Rookie of the Year case is kind of dependent on how much weight voters give to playing time. And then there are two other very impressive rookies, both on the same team, Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar of the New York Yankees have both put together very good seasons. Torres, batting .277, he's got 23 home runs, 70 RBIs, and Miguel Andujar, also with 23 home runs, batting .299, 79 RBIs. So a very good season from both of those rookies for the Yankees. But Shohei Ohtani was named the AL Player of the Week this past week. He had 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, batted .474 this past week. And all of that is even more impressive when you take into account the fact that he has a torn UCL right now. His elbow is torn, and he's out there hitting 4 home runs in a week. So Shohei Ohtani's put together a very impressive rookie campaign, and I just don't know how much weight the voters are going to give to his lack of playing time. And it'll be really interesting to see how that Rookie of the Year race shapes up as it comes down to the wire. Shohei Ohtani with, you know, playing very well pitching-wise and batting-wise. And then the two Yankees rookies who've had very good offensive seasons, and they've played almost all season. Whereas Shohei Ohtani's been injured a lot. They'll give him days off after he pitches before he goes back to playing as a designated hitter. So he's had a lot of time off. It'll just be a really interesting race, and it's going to be fun to watch how the voters decide, given his lack of playing time and the fact that he hasn't put together a whole lot of innings on the mound and not enough at-bats at the plate to even qualify for league leaders in stats like batting average or slugging percentage. So that's a really interesting award race to watch at the end of this Major League season. And also, I've got to say this, since I talked about Acuna and the National League Rookie of the Year race last week, he currently leads the National League in home runs and extra base hits since the All-Star break. The entire National League, he leads it in home runs since the All-Star break. 18. That's a lot of home runs and a lot of extra base hits. And most of them came from the leadoff spot. He's been a terrific leadoff hitter. And he better win the Rookie of the Year award at the end of this season. Obviously, one of the big stories that's been going around all kinds of news media this week is Hurricane Florence and the potential impacts that could have in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and all the coastal areas. I don't really know how it's going to affect baseball that much. I don't think it will, because the only games that could even potentially be impacted this weekend, the Nationals are at the Braves for a 3-game series, and the White Sox are at the Orioles for a 3-game series. So I don't know if either of those will be affected, but it's definitely something to watch. Obviously, you know, sports are nowhere near as important as the lives of people in those areas that could be affected. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens with those games. But I think the most recent forecasts have the hurricane tracking more southward towards Georgia. So that Braves series with the Nationals this weekend could be impacted. I don't think that Baltimore will receive that much rainfall or weather from the hurricane. So that series should be all right. But obviously, that'll be something to keep an eye on this weekend as the hurricane does make landfall and starts to impact the continental U.S. And obviously, baseball is not as important as evacuating areas that need to be evacuated and preparing for such a hurricane. But it has already had an effect on college football, as a lot of football games around North Carolina and Virginia have been either postponed or canceled for this weekend. I know Virginia Tech, their game with East Carolina has been canceled. East Carolina not feeling like it was safe enough to travel up to Blacksburg, and I don't blame them. I think that, you know, they got to take care of what they need to take care of. They got to make sure that their team and their community is safe before they even start worrying about a football game. So I don't blame them for not wanting to travel up here when they have a Category 4 hurricane coming right at them. But college football taking a big hit from the hurricane this weekend. Hopefully, everybody will just be safe. You know, that's the big thing. But, you know, the important thing is not that we're having to cancel or postpone sporting events. The important thing is that people are being safe. I've seen a couple of articles recently talking about Alex Bregman as the possible face of baseball. And, you know, when I see that, when I see articles with the headline, "Is Alex Bregman the next face of baseball?" my immediate reaction is no. Mike Trout's still the face of baseball. I don't care what anyone thinks. Mike Trout is the best baseball player in the world, and he is the face of MLB right now and for the foreseeable future. But Alex Bregman has put together a 30 home run, 100 RBI, 100 run season. He's the first Astro to do that since Lance Berkman in 2004, according to MLB. He also added 50 doubles this season, so that's a pretty impressive season, all those things put together. So he's building himself an MVP campaign in 2018. The Astros are, you know, obviously they're in first place in the American League West. They're one of the best teams in baseball right now. I don't think Bregman is the face of baseball, but he does have one thing that Mike Trout does not, and that's a World Series ring. And the way the Astros are looking, the way their team is built, he could get a couple more World Series rings in the coming years. And that might put him over the top. That might put him above Mike Trout as the face of baseball. You know, he's only going to get better. He's young. He's only going to get better in the coming years. He's 24 years old. He's got a lot of baseball ahead of him. He's not even in his prime yet. So when he gets better over the next couple of years, when he's winning more, getting another World Series or two, and he's still putting together seasons like this. I mean, Mike Trout's having a better season than Bregman is right now. I mean, Bregman's is really impressive. Mike Trout is he's playing better in most statistical categories. But if Bregman continues to win World Series with the Astros and still puts together seasons like this consistently for the next 5 years or so, he could overtake Trout as the face of Major League Baseball. I don't think it'll happen this year, maybe not next year. But the way he's playing, the way the Astros are looking as a team, their organization, and also Bregman's personality. I mean, Mike Trout, like he's a more reserved, quiet, stay out of the spotlight kind of guy. Alex Bregman doesn't seem to mind the spotlight. If it's on him, he'll embrace it. So I don't think he's there yet. He's definitely not the best player in baseball. That title does belong to Mike Trout. But he's on his way to taking him over as the face of Major League Baseball. It could happen in a few years. And I think the World Series championships are what are really going to do it. Because Mike Trout's not going to win World Series with the Angels. He's just not. They haven't built anything around him. They have Shohei Ohtani. They have Albert Pujols. Those are the only big name players they have besides Mike Trout. Justin Upton's all right. But he's not going to win a World Series in Los Angeles. So I think the World Series rings are what make Bregman the future face of baseball. I don't know if he'll ever overtake Trout as the best player. Probably not. But he will be the face of Major League Baseball in the next 3 or 4 years. Now, for my something to say for this week's episode. This is the third something to say that I've done in the podcast, and it's probably going to be the one that is most like a hot take. We'll see how it goes. You can call me out on this. I might be wrong. I probably am wrong. But I think that the Red Sox are too good to win the World Series. And I know that sounds weird to say they're too good to win the World Series, but they're the first team to clinch a playoff spot. They're a 100-win team. They've got two MVP candidates on their team in JD Martinez and Mookie Betts. And I think they're just going to get burned out. It happened with the Indians last year. They were a phenomenal team in the regular season. Nobody could beat them. They had a 22-game win streak, the longest win streak in Major League Baseball history. And then they get to the postseason, and they were burned out. They lost in the first round of the postseason. I mean, it didn't help that 22-game win streak was at the end of the regular season. So they go from winning 22 straight games right into the playoffs, and then they lose in the first round. They got burned out. Same thing happened with the Dodgers. Took a little longer, you know, that they had a really good regular season. They put together one of the most impressive 50-game stretches of all time. They had a stretch in their season when they went 43-7 over 50 games. And they got to the World Series, and they couldn't win the World Series. They got burned out because they had such a good regular season. And I think the same thing is going to happen to the Red Sox. They're so good. They have so much hype around them. They have these two really good MVP candidates supported by a cast of other really good players. And I think some team's going to come out and upset them. Whether it's the Astros, could be the Indians, could even be the Yankees. Some team is going to come out and upset the Red Sox in the postseason. They're just too good, too much hype. They've had such a good regular season that they're going to get burned out, and they're not going to be able to win the World Series. That's my something to say for this week. That's all I've got for you in this episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Hope you enjoyed my something to say, saying that the Red Sox are too good to win the World Series. We also talked to Kevin Rush about his RCBL career and what kept him coming back for another year with the Broadway Bruins. That's all we've got for you this week. We'll be back next Wednesday right here at foulballarea.com. I'm Matthew Atkins. Thanks for listening.